Our first presentation is a deep dive of platting with Bradley Anderle with Taylor Olson and Jennifer Drysdale for Taylor Olson Law Firm. Brad's a fellow Texas Tech law alum, been practicing law for years. Now he's serving as city attorney for Mansfield, River Oaks, Lindsay. Experience in zoning and land use matters and handles eminent domain matters. And then Jennifer has recently graduated from law school, but has an extensive experience and background, including working currently as the municipal court prosecutor for several cities. And we look forward to your presentation.
Thank you. Good morning. So first, thank you for joining us. I realize it's 8:30 on a Friday, and we are excited to talk about platting. So I appreciate you guys being here. We're going to kind of provide a quick backdrop and kind of roadmap of what we're going to discuss this morning. First is kind of the background, platting, what is it, why it's important, and why it needs to be discussed. And then second is specific to the House Bill 3699 and what changed. And again, why is that important for us? And when I say us, our presentation, we kind of essentially take it piece by piece to look at it from a municipal perspective, but also from a developer and a property owner perspective. And what does that look like and how do we navigate that? We then kind of go into the impact of platting and then navigating those changes. So just by a kind of show of hands, who kind of has an idea, the basic knowledge of platting? All right, awesome. And from kind of that basic knowledge, where are the kind of city attorneys in our audience? All right. And then city employees, planners. All right. And then the developers or attorneys for the developers. Perfect. Well, welcome all. So I am going to actually skip this slide because this is kind of the definition of platting. We don't need to go over that. But I want to go into kind of the purposes and why it's important to discuss them. Mainly to make sure that the property that is at issue is developable in the future, right? So it doesn't become essentially a landlocked property where no one can use it. And that's kind of the big issue. So if we bypass a lot of these platting processes, the issue becomes what happens in the future. So some of those purposes, drainage concerns, water infrastructure and functionality, sewer infrastructure and functionality, basic accessibility, both for civil construction plans for roadway, but also just utilities. Thank you. And then traffic impacts, things such as a traffic impact analysis, and then amenities. So specifically going to House Bill 3699 and what's changed, I feel that we could probably have an entire morning about what's changed and how this impacts us, but we are focusing specifically on Section G, but we want to give kind of the overview of what we found to be the most important, and that is the defining the filing and requirements for a plat application. Removed the plan from the shot clock requirements, authority to delegate almost all plat approval to staff, set conditions for right-of-way dedication, and authorize a writ of mandamus for failure to approve plat. And one thing that I found to be, one, accurate, but also significant from TML's perspective of the House Bill 3699 changes is that these are all very subtle changes with significant impacts. So when you read it at first, you're kind of like, there's really nothing big here. There's not like a big, you know, red flag waving at you that these changes have occurred until you kind of get into it and then it hits you. So specifically for Section 212.004G, the statute now reads, the governing body of a municipality or the municipal authority responsible for approving plats may not require analysis, study document, agreement, or similar requirement to be included in or as part of an application for a plat, development permit, or subdivision of land that is not explicitly allowed by state law.